Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio audience, family, we're making another show adjustment. Our guest, Mindy Esposito, I confirmed with her a couple of days ago. She said she'd be on, but we can't locate her. But we do have the Bitter Ender coming up, and I'm sure he's more than capable of filling in. Plus, I think that Sister Nancy the Bell Cow may call in because she had a few things she wanted to cover. She didn't get to cover the first hour. So we will do what we have to do to produce a quality work for our beloved Blood River Radio family. So how you doing tonight, Bitter Ender?
Well, we're very lucky. We just had a tornado go through Nashville, and it hit the north side of town, came in from the west at towns like Clarksville, hit Fort Campbell up there, and then Ashland City, and came right through the north side of Nashville. And we live on the south side. But I was calling, it went through right through my son's neighborhood in Madison, and then went right across Old Hickory Dam out on Old Hickory Lake. And I was calling Rich Hamlin, our fact checker, to make sure he was watching TV and let him know it's gone over Gallatin now and it's headed east. So hope everything's okay with Rich and Janice. So, okay. Good. I was afraid maybe she'd lost phone contact or something. So Mindy's here. Great.
Well,
go ahead
and
have her on, and I'll silence here for a second, let y'all get your connection there.
Well, you two people are the stars, that's for sure, because I'm no little next to nothing. They'll take so little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Miss Mindy, how are you doing tonight, dear sister?
I'm good. We're having tornadoes in central and middle Tennessee. That's why I was a little bit late.
That's
through
typical.
The area.
Gene's having the same trouble. You know what? That shows so much of your dedication. I was afraid because I had butt dialed you the other day. I called back and I forgot what I was doing. I think I was bringing my dog in. I have this dog
that's
suffering.
And
she's had a stroke, and now she's got this really weird cough. She's an old beagle. I mean, nothing tougher than a daggum beagle. I've had pit bulls and a bull terrier. A beagle is tougher than a bull terrier. I've had them all. Nothing tougher than a beagle. I used to hunt rabbits all the time. That's why it took me 14 years to get out of school because I finally decided, hey, before you can get a high school diploma, you have to decide you're going to go to school. I decided that when I was in the sixth grade or the seventh grade. Anyway, the people don't want to hear about how long it took me to get out of school. If we had a test on rabbit hunting or trot line fishing or grappling for catfish and trying to avoid getting hit by cottonmouths, I would have been a straight A's. But they didn't test us on that. And I mean, I'd got a degree in Redneck University, but down home Southern Redneck. But anyway, I'm glad you came. I started worrying. Golly, I hope you didn't get the wrong message. It's a butt dialer, left a message, etc. But I'm glad you're here.
The warning just passed. I mean, there have been tornadoes touched down in Clarksville and down in Robertson County and south of us, pretty much all over central, all over the middle part of Tennessee. So.
Mindy,
I'm so glad.
All right?
Did
you have any damage, trees down or anything like that?
No, we're okay here. My daughter lives in Clarksville, and I talked to her, and she said it touched down just north of them, so they're okay. And my son's in Robertson County. I haven't talked to him yet, but right now we're okay, and it's past us. It's east of us now. So, we were coming back from Bardstown, Kentucky, for our meeting, and the tornado warning followed us all the way down because you know how it goes up at an angle.
Right.
So I was like, we were all the way down in a tornado warning. By the time we got home, it was a tornado warning. So
Well, they just said there's some cars on 65 north. North of Nashville had flipped over on I-65. The wind was that strong to flip several of the cars over out on the interstate. So I'm glad you made it okay. Glad to hear that.
Yes. The sky was really nasty, but Springfield, Tennessee, which is up around that way too, there's been cars flipped over there too. So
right.
That's just north of us. But we're all good, and I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late.
No, just glad you're here. Well, glad you made it.
A lot of people would not come.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well,
if I'm still breathing.
whatever you need to start with, go ahead. And
yes.
I want to thank you for coming on and being part of the program for Eddie. I met this young lady at a meeting and conference they had at the Forest Home. What was it, about 2 years ago that y'all came out there?
And, it was only been a year, believe it or not. It seems like it's been 2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And fantastic group, some outstanding people, and we were so happy to go over and meet with them over at the exit 46 on I-65, the Columbia Chapel Hill exit, where they had their luncheon, and then got to come out to the Forest Home. And we were so glad to have them. It was quite an honor. So I'll let you go ahead and start the program, whatever you need to go, information you need to give out to our listeners.
Well, I think the first thing I'd like to talk about is the Reconciliation Monument at Arlington that's scheduled to be removed in 9 days. And Defend Arlington and SIA and a lot of other groups are trying to get that stopped. There's a federal lawsuit that's being heard now. We've requested an injunction. We were hoping that the judge would hear it yesterday, but it didn't come through. The Department of Defense has also submitted a motion to dismiss. So it kind of seems like either way it goes, there'll be an appeal, and hopefully we can get a stay pending appeal. Right. But we're asking everybody, all of your listeners, first thing Monday morning to call the Speaker of the House's office, and I'm going to get that number for you in just a minute. The Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C., Mike Johnson, we're planning on getting a delegation to go up there next Wednesday and go to the Speaker's office and just stay there until we get some relief from this, because there's no reason in the world for them to remove that monument. Nobody's even complaining about it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it was the naming commission that said it needed to be removed. But we don't have people, you know, wanting it down. This is totally the government's doing. And what were you about to say?
Well, it's the way the communist government operates. We have to understand that. They want, they're just like the Cultural Revolution in Red China when Chairman Mao was there. They want to destroy all the history and replace it with communism. And this is a symbol of history, of brave people that fought for their independence. It's a beautiful statue and sculpture. I've been there, and it was sculpted by Moses Ezekiel, who was actually one of the cadets that from VMI that fought at Newmarket, and he survived that.
Yep.
And then wanted to was very interested in art and sculpturing, and he went over to Washington College and talked with the president there. The president's name was Robert E. Lee, and
yep.
Lee was the one that advised him to go for it if that's what you want to do, and if you can get to Europe and study under some of the masters there. And if you see the sculptures and the relief sculpturing on that monument, it is absolutely beautiful. But
he was a world famous sculptor.
Yes, absolutely. And there were some other ones he did too. He did the Confederate monument up at Johnson's Island, the prisoner of war camp up there. He did the sculpture for the Confederates in the graveyard there that were murdered, basically starved to death and frozen to death. And murdered up there at Johnson's Island, that prisoner of war camp they had up here. So, yes, he had quite a few sculptures all over the country. And it's just what our country is sinking into. They've destroyed all the monuments on Monument Avenue in Richmond, which I always thought was one of the most beautiful streets in this country. And now it's just horrible. The basis for the monuments, they've taken the images of Lee and Jackson and Stewart and all of those down, and the bases are just covered in graffiti. And so that's what the country has become. It's a country of just wild animals, basically. That's all we have. So I'm hoping, like you talked about, that we'll get an injunction or some type of stay or some type of appeal. I'm the eternal pessimist. I think this was decided. It was a done deal a long time ago. and they're letting this legal procedure play out just to act like they're going to do the legal thing, the correct thing, the right thing. But I think the rotten government that we have in D.C. This is part of their campaign. You just destroy everything.
And you're right. And it is absolutely communism 101. I mean, they're going by the playbook. At our SIA Kentucky meeting today, one of our members is like, this is like Russia in 1917. And it pretty much
exactly.
is. And what they do is they erase the people's history and replace it with what they want you to know. And that's where we're at. But Arlington.
Well, I think we have become the enemy of the state. And I kind of compare it to the first century Christians. The first century Christians were martyred and killed because they wouldn't bow down and worship Caesar. They said, no, we revere a higher authority. And people here today that are conservative, Southerners, you know, Confederates, whatever your love of the basic history of this country is, we're going to be martyred because we won't bow down and worship the modern day Caesar, which is the federal government. And
we stand between them and a total our people and a total takeover. That's why they don't want us. That's why we're the enemy. That's why we're all on, you know, domestic terrorists or whatever they want to call us.
Yes.
I hear music.
Yes,
I take that as a compliment. That's what they're calling it.
We have, since you heard that music, Mr. Mindy, we have to go to our first break. We're going to come right back to you as soon as this break's over. Be right back, folks.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm so excited. We're all blessed to be brothers and sisters with these two people we have on right now. Gene, the bitter ender himself, the ex-Marine. Gene told me they say there's no such thing as an ex-Marine, but he said, by God, there's one ex-Marine. He's one. He might want to explain that to you later. It's up to his choice. We also have Sister Nancy Esposito, a very rare
Mindy.
Lady. You see, very... Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm going to say that in spite of here. I guess I'll claim the old age card. Miss Mindy Esposito, you see very few ladies in politics, and you see even fewer that are in leadership positions. And Miss Mindy, she is one of the board of directors, I believe, on the Southern Independence Organization. And she said something before we went to break. I'm going to ask one quick question. She said that, and I'll put some letters, some additions in here to what she said, maybe add it, that we are hated. I know Blood River Radio is hated bad. We talked about this in the first hour. Sam Bushman and Liberty News Radio are under a full-scale attack on the congressional floor. Liberty News Radio and Sam Bushman have been singled out by the Jewish congressman. It's gone into, I don't know if you know about this, Gene, they've gone into the congressional documents, congressional papers that Liberty News Radio, Sam Bushman, was not just a hate group, that they are the nexus of hate in the United States of America. And one of the main reasons they have been singled out as a nexus of hate, Sam Bushman told me, is that people like Blood River Radio we've dropped. And I apologize to Sam because we brought so much crap onto his head. But he said, oh, no, don't be. He said he's with us until the bitter end. But speaking about the same people, Miss Mindy, that have attacking Sam, Liberty News Radio, attacking Blood River Radio, you said, I'll call these the same people. You said we, being people like you, Gene, myself, and other Blood River Radio staff and Liberty News Radio, we are the ones that stand between a full communist takeover. Did you say that? I think you said that.
Yes.
Would you like to?
We stand between the people and a complete takeover of this country, and they know it. That's why we're the enemy, because we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let it happen where we are, as much as we can help it, and that makes us an enemy. We all have we're all a target. Any patriot, anybody who believes in the Constitution and what our forefathers fought England for, that they don't want that. We're in a post-constitutional America. Even our Congress votes according to the Constitution less than 40% of the time, and that includes the people who go to Washington who do want the same things that we do. Unfortunately, the government is really a Marxist communist regime now, and they have all the power. They have all the ABC organizations behind them, and they're not going to give it up easy. They're not going to give it up.
It's not like we
can have elections and fix it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, they've got the KGB and all, like you said, all of their alphabet organizations turned against us and anybody that speaks out. And the thing is, we see what they're doing to Mr. Trump, President Trump, and all the things they're dragging him through, these specious nonsense, all these black women district attorneys that George Soros has put in power. And he's fighting it, but he's got, a huge bank account. If it happened to one of us, we'd be destroyed. I mean, they'd take our home. They would clean out our bank account, as little as it is, or mine is. And there's no way we could legally fight that. So that's what they're doing. It's ruled by intimidation. It's ruled by their KGB thugs that they have. And
no, absolutely.
That's their whole modus operandi, to just intimidate people.
People think that they're doing this to Trump to keep him from winning the election. I don't think that at all. They already know he's not going to win the election because it's predetermined. They're doing this to Trump to deter anybody else.
Exactly.
They will never let Trump be president again. I would bet everything I own on that.
They will come up with something. And there's a very distinct possibility that they would have him assassinated. And I hate to say that.
If push came to shove, they would. But they don't have to. They manipulate the voting. They've done it overseas in other countries for a long, long time. They've done it in America at least since the early 2000s.
They already brag about it. They had these voting machines that they could change the election in Libya and Syria and places like that, and they were bragging about it. And I thought, you morons, if you can do it in those countries, why couldn't you do it here? And the last election in 2020, it was obvious they did. And arrogant they could brag about it and then turned around and did it here. And I had a friend the other day, one more point. He said, elections don't mean anything here anymore. He said back in the 50s and 60s, they had paper ballots. They could count them And we could have people that could count paper ballots. And by 10:30 or 11 o'clock that night on election night, you knew who won. And now they drag it out a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And, you know, so they can see how many votes they need for the Communist Party candidate to win the election in Arizona or Georgia or Pennsylvania or wherever it is. And then, oh, well, these late ballots just came in. Golly, day. And look at this. We thought on election night this person was going to win, but it looks like all these paper ballots have come in, been mailed in, and son of a gun, our Communist Party candidate has won the election. So,
Trump was never supposed to win the first time. That was a mistake. Hillary Clinton was supposed to win, but they did not set the bar high enough. They did not realize how many votes Trump was going to get.
Yeah,
and
they didn't cheat enough.
Exactly. And that's why it was such an upset, because they had no idea he was going to go that far over. Now you'll notice, since in the 2020 election, national election, and even the midterm elections, they stop it at like midnight. They always stop them now. They stop counting because they're not going to let that happen again.
No.
And yeah, they let a few Republicans win. You know how it was supposed to be a landslide in 2022 for the House, right? If it were legal, if they were actual votes, it would have been. But they might let him get a small majority, but they're not going to let anything happen now that goes against their plans. And I hate to say it. That's not what I want. That's not. But that's the way it is, and we have to look at reality. And I've got people saying, as far as the monument goes, you're never going to win this. I'm like, I'm going to fight for it.
Sure.
I'm going to keep fighting for it. It's worth fighting for. That property was handed down to Mary Custis Lee from her grandmother's family, who was Martha Washington. That was George and Martha Washington, the first president and first lady of our country, General George Washington. It was illegally taken after Lincoln's war. And Moses Ezekiel, he was a 19-year-old cadet, a hero, one of the heroes that really won the Battle of New Market, because they were supposed to just go in and hold the line. And they actually, I don't know if they misunderstood the orders or if they just decided on their own, they've charged head on into the Union forces. 10 of them were killed, but they won the battle. They're all heroes. And
they went up that hill and they took that Federal artillery battery. And that's what John Breckinridge said. He said they wanted them there, but as reserves. They weren't going to put those young boys, because they were like 14, 15, 16-year-olds. I mean, they weren't
regular
military.
Moses was 19. Moses was 19, but they were all young. And they were when they sent them down, there was like a break in the line. They sent them down just to hold the line. But the boys just that's where the field of lost shoes, because there was so much mud, they lost their shoes going through that field. Those boys are heroes. They were all VMI cadets. So God bless them. And that memorial is to them and to Robert E. Lee and Mary Custis Lee, and really to George and Martha Washington. It's worth fighting for. And I know it's in Yankee territory, even though it's Northern Virginia, but we're going to do what we can. We're going to fight. And like I said, we've got a delegation going up to Washington next Wednesday we're going to go to the Speaker of the House's office and stay as long as we have to stay until we get some results. And we're asking, we're asking everybody to call. I'd like to give the number, and maybe a couple of times if I could, to call Mike Johnson's office.
Okay.
It's area code 202-225-2777. That's 202-225-2777.
And we will come right back. We'll maybe announce that number one more time after this quick commercial break. Be right back, people.
Pre- pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters. Fresh off the fourth GOP debate at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa earlier this week, Nikki Haley back in Iowa Friday, campaigning in Sioux City, saying she just needs to have a good showing there. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, whose campaign has yet to catch fire with voters, says he has no plan of dropping out of the race at this time and is focusing his efforts on campaigning in Michigan. Now, looking at some of the recent polling in New Hampshire ahead of the GOP primary there, a CNN survey finds Christie in third place with 14% of the vote, Nikki Haley at 20%, and former President Trump with 42% of the vote as it stands right now. Most political analysts and observers say that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis won the fourth debate in Alabama, garnering the most applause in the audience, but his campaign is also struggling. The latest now on one of the lawsuits involving former President Trump. Here's USA's John Schaefer.
A federal appeals court Friday allowed lawsuits against Donald Trump over the U.S. Capitol riot to proceed. The court dismissed Trump's claims of presidential immunity, but stated that he can continue to argue that his actions were taken in his official capacity as president as those lawsuits move forward. I'm John Schaefer.
In other news, award-winning actor Ryan O'Neal has passed at the age of 82, his son Patrick confirming the news on social media, writing, "My dad passed away peacefully today with his loving team by his side, supporting him and loving him as he would us. He is a Hollywood legend, full stop." His son also speaking of his dad's relationship with Charlie's Angel star Farrah Fawcett, who died back in 2009 at the age of 62 from cancer. "Ryan never bragged," he writes, "but he has bragging rights in heaven, especially when it comes to Farrah. Everyone had the poster. He had the real McCoy, and now they meet again." This is USA News.
Attention timeshare owners. Tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed-fee legal solution in the country, with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-875-1853. 800-875-1853. That's 800-875-1853.
Dear Blood River Radio, we're going to go back to Miss Mindy Esposito. I'm going to ask her a question. It's going to segue, I think, in beautifully into the organization she belongs to, and I know Gene is probably connected to it too. Here is a statement from Michael Hill, who is the president of the League of the South. He said this on reforming the United States. He says, "Reforming the United States will not work for one simple reason. Those most in need of reform control all the institutional avenues to reform. The presidency, Congress, courts, the bureaucracy, banks, media, the educational system, etc. They will not allow themselves to be reformed out of their power, position, and wealth." It's that simple. Miss Mindy, what is this? Do you agree with that? If so, what's the solution?
Well, that's absolutely right. They are in power and they're not going to give that power up. And I get asked this question a lot. What can we do? How do we fight it? Well, you fight it one county and one state at a time. You take back your states, take back your state sovereignty, and you get the federal government out of the states under the Constitution. You can do it under the Constitution. We still have 9th and 10th Amendment rights. And I tell you what, Tennessee is one state. And Gene, I was going to ask you if you knew about this, if you know about the it's House Bill 0726, Senate Bill 1092, that's that's in the assembly now and will be debated and voted on next year. It's exactly that, taking back the state sovereignty for the state of Tennessee.
Give those bills one more time.
Yeah, and nullification. They're talking about that too.
Yep. Exactly what SIA is, the Southern Independence Association, is taking back our state sovereignty, nullifying unconstitutional federal laws, and putting the federal government back in its place, which is enumerated powers only, and all other powers are left to the people or the states. And that's what you have to do. And in Tennessee now, and we're doing it through the Southern Independence Association, is going to county commissioners and getting them to adopt these ordinances and sending them on to the state to write onto this bill, because this is what the people want. And that's the only way you can do it. You're not going to get the federal government back. You're going to get your states back. And then at some point we may have enough power to have enough states that stand up to them, but you're never going to vote these people out. It's not going to happen.
There are states that are talking about getting out. I know my brother lives out in Texas, and mm-hmm. I was out there visiting him in October, and they're talking about Texas, like Brexit, getting England out of the European Union. And they're talking about that very seriously in Texas. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say they just got enough vote or enough signatures. In fact, more than enough signatures. They got over 100,000 signatures to have it on the ballot in March. I guess that's the first stage. That doesn't mean they'll be leaving the union if they vote out in March. But I guess that's the first stage. So that it will be on the ballot.
Study that, have an official study of that and see how they could do it. I think it'd be very simple for Texas, because the United States needs Texas more than Texas needs the United States. They've got all the oil and natural gas they can use out there, agriculture, livestock. They got warm water ports that never freeze. They can trade with anybody in the world. I mean, they could have gas for 80 cents a gallon and sell it to the Yankee states for $8 a gallon if they wanted to. Now, what would happen, the United States would invade them, of course, to stop that. I mean, you're dealing with a ruthless government, like they said in Braveheart, what's his name, the second Longshanks, the most ruthless ruler ever to sit on the throne. So we've got some of the most ruthless rulers to ever sit on the throne in our country as well. But
we do.
I've said this for a long time. I think the only way the separation is really going to work is if we have a total economic collapse. And the government cannot pay the soldiers to go into Texas or Tennessee or Alabama or Wyoming or Idaho, places like that, and force them to stay in the axis of evil empire, just like the Soviet Union. I never thought when I was in grade school and they were having these A-bomb tests and we had to go out and sit in the hall and cover our head up, you know, if we were attacked by the Russians or whatever. I never thought I'd live to see the Soviet Union collapse, but it did. And they didn't have the money to pay the soldiers to go into Romania and Czechoslovakia and Poland and East Germany. So the soldiers said, screw you. We're not getting paid. We're not going over there. Let them go. So I could see that someday in this country, if they keep printing money, if they keep continually spending billions more than we have, there could be an economic collapse. And that, to me, would be the most feasible way for the states to separate and get away from that. I hope they could. You know, it's going to be some economic hardship, but you know, the choice is being economic hardship under a dictatorship or having economic hardship with the possibility of having your country free from the rulers that we have in D.C., the District of Corruption there. So anyway,
I got a question for you, brother.
Reforming it, I don't think really, like y'all said, it's not really going to work. It's going to have to come from the states. And the thing we were talking about on the break, a fellow I worked with, gosh, this was way back in the 60s. I think I was in junior high school, worked at a filling station, and he got some kind of nonsense from the federal government, which is microscopic compared to what they do now. with OSHA and everything. You know, OSHA wasn't even around then. He says, looking at this nonsense, well, I'll tell you, bub, if the Russians dropped a bomb on Washington, D.C., I'd get up and go to work the next morning like nothing had happened. And so I've always thought of his philosophy. And I said, get rid of all of them and just one fell swoop and we'll start over again. So anyway, go ahead, Eddie. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, and I was going to lead into a statement. But, Gene, would we even – looking back at what's happened and what the federal government has become since the end of Lincoln's war in 1865, looking at what it's become, would we even, if we could reform it, would we even want to, for lack of what it would probably mean, history repeat itself? Would we even want to reform the government, Gene?
Well, I don't think you can, Eddie. I think, you know, it's all about money, and everything is. And yeah. Wars that are fought over money. And you look at every war, and there's somebody in there pulling the strings with the money. I mean, you go back way back, and I mean way back when Ugog hit Mugog over the head with a dinosaur bone out front of the cave, it was about money. And that's why the British didn't want the American colonies to leave, because they were taking money out of the colonies. Lincoln didn't want we went to war with Mexico, had no reason to do that, but there were rumors of gold in California and silver mines in what later became Arizona. We wanted the money. They didn't. There was an argument over a little stretch of desert land between the Rio Grande and what's the next river up, the Los Brazos or whatever it is. Anyway, that was supposedly the argument, but they the United States wanted California, and that's why they went into it. And then Lincoln's War is about money, because the South was paying the bill to keep the Yankee government afloat. Then we wanted Spain's colonies in 1898. We were suckered into World War One. We were suckered into World War Two. We were suckered into Vietnam, and it just, the list goes on and on and on and on. It's about money. So once that money is not there, and the federal government collapses, we can bypass the idea that we'll ever reform it, because just like y'all said, those people in power. You can have the greatest reform movement in the world, and they did, you know, back in the, I don't know, the late 1800s, early 1900s, the progressives and the labor unions and things like that. And, yeah, they got a few things done. But the money barons were never bothered with that, and the people that controlled the money and actually controlled the government, it was a good show. But, you know, things didn't change in the swamp area there in D.C., so I still think it's I'll go back to my old premise that it would take a total economic collapse. And when they don't have the money, then they can't force their government on us. And I think that would be the ultimate. Now, how long that would take before the empire collapses, and empires always do collapse. It's not being anti-American or anti-hating people in this country. I don't hate the people in this country. I love the people in the country, especially in the South. But it's a government that's corrupted things. And so we have to get that off our back. And I hope that, you know, there could be independence and movements and nullification and legal things like that, less than something that's violent. So we'll see.
Well, we'll continue on that subject as soon as we come back from this last break, folks. Be right back, people. Hang on your seats.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, we have come to the last segment of the program, as sad to say. But anyway, we're going to go right back to our special guest, Miss Mindy Esposito. She sits on the board of the Southern Independence Organization, and she's going to go back and contribute, and excuse me, and continue on telling us whatever she wants to tell us about this organization and any other topics she wants. She might want to talk about the Texas Independence Movement or whatever she wants. So anyway, if you will, continue on, Miss Mindy, and I think Gene asked you a question. I think he said he wants you to give you Mike Johnson's number, or maybe a few other things. But anything you want to do, Miss Mindy, you're the guest here. It's your show.
Yeah, let me do that again. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, the Speaker of the House in Washington D.C. His number is area code 202-225-2777. That's 202-225-2777. And we'd like everybody to call and ask Congress, ask him to say, Congress, what are you doing? We need you to make a stand on this and stop this madness. There's no reason for the Reconciliation Monument and the Confederate section at Arlington to be removed. It's a national treasure. There's no reason to remove it. And if everybody does that, if they get bombarded with, 1,000 calls come Monday, they will take notice. They will have to do something. And we'll just keep fighting it as long as we can fight it before they bring the bulldozers in.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to bring bulldozers. They're actually going to dismantle it, but
well, basically that's what they're doing regardless of how they do it, but they're going to destroy it. So just like they destroyed the Lee Monument in Charlottesville, they wouldn't even sell that. There were some huge offers to buy that and move it to some other private property in Virginia. And, of course, they turned that down. They wanted it destroyed. Yeah. And I even offered a suggestion on Eddie's radio program of what they could do, that they were going to melt it down and go through all that, cut it up, melt it down and everything. I said, no, they don't have to do that. It's an equestrian statue, and Lee is mounted on Traveler. Traveler's a horse. And all you'd have to do is lift up Traveler's tail and cut out the rear end of the horse, and you'd have your memorial to George Floyd and Al Sharpton and Maxine Waters, and you wouldn't have to do very little to change that. So I don't know if that suggestion is going to fly. I kind of doubt it. But anyway, I'm just trying to be helpful. And could you give us some more information on the Southern Independence Association, please, ma'am, for our listeners?
Yes, the Southern Independence Association, and we're doing basically what we were talking about as far as the law before the assembly. With all of our southern states, we're trying to take back state sovereignty, working with local and state governments to take back our state sovereignty within our 9th and 10th Amendment rights. And it doesn't matter if we're still in the United States, or if at some point down the road we have to leave, irregardless, we need our states back. The federal government is totally overreached and gotten involved in all aspects of our lives that they never had the authority to do. And to reach us, we have a website. It's all one word spelled out, SouthernIndependenceAssociation.org. And it has the information there. We're also on Facebook and MeWe and Gab, Twitter, which is now X. You can reach us there and we'll love to have you and tell you all about it. Our phone number is area code 615-957-0466.
Okay. Excellent.
I have a quick question, Ms. Mindy. Have you ever considered working through the various sheriff's organizations? For instance, there's an organization called they probably wouldn't be in tune to our calls because they're nationwide. It's called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Organization, or various state sheriffs organizations. Because, you know, Gene and I talked about how much power a county sheriff has that they can just realize they have. But have you ever considered that? Have you ever touched base with any of the sheriffs?
No, I actually hadn't thought about it. I appreciate that. I'll make a note of that.
Well, technically, and I'm not the expert on it, but I've heard other people say this, the sheriff's department has the authority to tell the FBI if they come into their county to take a long run off a short pier.
They can arrest
an FBI agent.
Yes, they can. And there's a lot of them that need to be arrested. So
yes.
The sheriff, that's the top law enforcement office in each county. Above the state highway patrol, above the state militia, or whatever you want to call some of these other organizations. So
that's
right. If we could get our sheriffs to stand up and realize the power that they have, and the whole point is not by a power grab. We have to have our state government and our sheriffs and our local law enforcement as a buffer between the citizens of that state and the overreaching power of the federal government. We as individuals can't stand up to the axis of evil empire. We have to have a state government or a state sheriff's association or state law enforcement as the buffer between the individual citizens that are just out there plodding along in their 8-to-5 job and this overreach of the axis of evil empire. So get some more of these local law enforcement agencies to realize what they need to do. Please.
Well, Mindy, Gina, I have one more suggestion. And I hate everybody, I'll just say this. You know, also a county, when you go before the grand jury, you know, I think a sheriff may be able to request the grand jury to meet. A grand jury in a county could issue an arrest warrant to the Governor Lee and have a sheriff maybe to, this may be a bridge too far. You know, Gene can tell you Mindy, that the Sheriff Lee, the Governor Lee was I don't know who was in office when they took the statue of Nathan Bedford Forrest out of Memphis, but whoever was in the governorship, they did not enforce the law.
No, has been
protecting
the governor then. Haslam or I call the has-been brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
should have been arrested.
Then.
A grand jury could probably issue an arrest warrant for him and maybe have him extradited from that county up there. I mean, maybe I was shut up. Maybe I'm trying to get too wild. Oh, back to you, Sister Mindy. I was just going to ask you what you thought about that.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea. And I heard you say you didn't know if they would support our cause, but our cause is like our ancestors was the Constitution. All we wanted was them to follow the law, you know, follow the Constitution. So if they're a constitutional organization, they would fall in line because that's what we want. So that's what we're fighting for.
Well, I hope we could get somebody to stand up on that. So, anyway, we will see how that goes.
Because, you know, Gene, go ahead, Sister Mindy. Go ahead, Mindy.
I was just going to say that's what the Southern Independence Association is actively working towards in every state. we just had a meeting in Kentucky today for the same cause, and we're trying to get. We did decide today that we're all of our states are going to come and push in Tennessee to get these bills passed. They're going to come in and work with us, and I think I talked last week about there's a faction that wants to erode our constitutional carry laws. They want us to go back to requiring permits for concealed carry, and they want the red flag laws, and we need to fight that. So the other states are going to come and help us fight that.
Eddie and Mindy, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to excuse myself from the program. I just got a call from my son, and the tornado went over right where he was living. And I don't know if he's had something happen there or not. I'll let y'all finish out the program. Eddie, thank you for allowing me to be on with Mindy. It's quite an honor to be with her and the excellent work that the Southern Independence Association is doing. So I will let y'all close out the program. Thank you.
Pass our best on to your son. God bless you, Gene. Thank you. That Gene is wonderful. God, Miss Mindy, it's just an honor having you on with the few minutes we have left. I guess I'm the eternal optimist. I never say never, but you never, like I told a fellow on earlier today, I know this is a cliche. If you never swing at the ball, you're guaranteed to strike out 100% of the time. I'm thinking, there was a fellow, he's blessed his heart, he's dead now, Sheriff. Oh, God, not Sheriff. He was Officer Jack McLamb. He used to be on our program. He has his own program. They had the sheriffs. They said military and police against the New World Order. They were out headquartered in Kami, Idaho. Officer McLamb was originally out of Phoenix, Arizona, where he was a patrolman there, injured in the line of duty, fighting drug dealers. He was best friends with Lieutenant Colonel James Bo Greitz. He parachuted into the Waco compound to stop the slaughter. They were promised by the officials there that the people at Waco would not be harmed there at Mount Carmel. Anyway, that's the kind of background he had. And, of course, he's blessed his heart. He's dead now. But the guy was really smart. He said that the sheriff had incredible power like that. And I know I need to get in touch with a few other people. I know Sam Bushman, who syndicates our radio, he is in this Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Organizations. And I've talked to him in the past about a power of a county sheriff and a county grand jury. Here I am telling you what to do, and I should be doing it myself because people always tell me.
No, I'm writing this down. I'm actually writing this down. I'm taking notes here because I hadn't even considered it.
Well, I would love to help you any way I can. Because we've got to do something. Like you said, we've got to do something. I think an issue or an arrest, I mean, I don't see, because I know, for instance, I'm going back to Charlottesville. The state of Virginia issued arrest warrants, a fugitive criminal arrest warrants for people just because for defending them in Charlottesville. So if the state could do that and have somebody extradited from Arkansas, and another kid that was extradited, why could not we have a county sheriff and a county grand jury issue an arrest warrant for an outlaw governor who will not only not enforce the law, but will stand by and encourage feral animals to destroy a grave in Memphis, Tennessee, the grave of Nathan Bedford Forrest's wife. I can't believe we're out of time already. But Mindy, I hope you will agree to come back on very, very quick and find out anything that we talked about the sheriff, et cetera. Please let me know. We need to stay in touch about this, and I hope you will stay in touch with me.
And
I hope you'll come
back
on again soon. Well, thank you for coming on. God bless you, Sister Mindy. And
God
bless
you,
Blood River Radio audience. And thank you, dear. And thank you, Miss Lizzie. You did a flawless job. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Sister Monica. Thank you, Blood River Radio family. God willing, we'll see you same time, same place next week, the 16th of December. Good night, everybody.